You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to KoopaCast number 43. We had our numbering a little off, but we're good now. This is 43, definitely 100%.
Yeah, I thought we were like at 48 or something.
We were at 49 on the last one, but now we're back down to 43.
Well, it turns out 6 episodes were actually considered non-canon, so we're really on 43.
We're good. We know what we're doing.
It was KoopaCast, The Faces of Evil.
So I'm Justin J Money, assistant editor for PureNintendo.com and PNM, and I'll let these other two fine gentlemen introduce themselves, and I guess we'll make the question easy this week. And what is your favorite fruit? Go for it, Trevor.
Hello, I am Trevor Gould, and I'm a writer at Pure Nintendo and for PNM magazine. And my favorite fruit, I don't know if I have one. I do know when I was playing Pikmin 3, whatever fruit they collected is the fruit I wanted. So I'm very open to suggestion.
And I am Matthew Paxton. I am the multimedia manager here at PNM and PureNintendo.com. So any kind of video stuff usually goes through me in some capacity or the other. Some kind of favorite fruit. I have to go with bananas. Yep, definitely that.
That's Eli's favorite.
He has good tastes.
Eli actually has like a phobia of bananas. It's actually kind of funny, but anyways.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
I don't know how he gets by playing Donkey Kong.
See, you got to fill me in. I don't know about this now.
I didn't know until E3 last year, and then the guys were joking about it. I'm like, seriously? Really?
All these inside jokes I don't know about yet.
I think I like jokingly like shoved a banana in his face, and he like legitimately like backed off a few steps on that.
All right, so we're going to start off this episode talking about some more technical business.
Did you say your favorite fruit? Justin?
Oh, my favorite fruit. I'd have to say strawberries. I like strawberries. Strawberries are good. Especially when you go out and pick them fresh from the field. Yeah. Except then you tend to do more eating than saving to take home. So.
Why is my bucket empty?
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we're going to start off with talking more business side of Nintendo news for this KoopaCast. A majority of it has to do with kind of numbers and stuff like that. The first thing we're going to talk about is the Nintendo figurine platform. Nintendo announced recently that they're going to start this kind of Skylander-style figurine sort of thing called Nintendo Figurine Platform that's going to span several different games and both the Wii U and the 3DS. I guess we'll start off with thoughts, and we all kind of knew this was coming.
I think it's awesome. I mean, I think a lot of gamers have that collectible desire, and I mean, even myself, I never got into like the Skylanders, but I always would look at the toys, and I like the idea behind it. I think Nintendo, I think it's overdue, but I think it's going to be awesome for a few reasons. One, like you said, they can be used or will be used in multiple games. So I think that's going to eliminate any, real concern about like cost prohibitive. I think the fact that it's 3DS and Wii U is another ace in the hole. And Nintendo just has such great IPs. I mean, I can see them, coming out with obscure, Ice Climber figure or something, and people just gobbling it up. So I think it's great. I'm excited about it.
I'm kind of mixed on the whole thing. I mean, it's good that they're coming out with these, considering this is what Nintendo has essentially promised since the Wii U's debut, almost a couple years now? But it's good to see them kind of delivering on that promise of these little figurines. And it's definitely good to see that they'll be able to communicate between the Wii U games and the 3DS games. How many they're going to do, well, that's still up to, speculation and the E3 announcements that come up in the future.
I'm really excited, but on the other hand, I'm also kind of mixed. And the reason being is because, one, do they have enough characters in their arsenal to really put forth a good collection of these figures? Because with Skylanders, they really have no limit because they have creative freedom. They can do pretty much whatever they want. With Nintendo IPs, they only have a limited number of characters to kind of fall back on. And then if they're using the same figures throughout multiple games, how are you going to drive sales for the figures if you, say, have 10 figures, but then they're used across 10 games, you only need to buy the figures once. So after a while, you're going to see sales drop off on these figures after people start to collect, quote unquote, collect them all.
Which means Nintendo needs to list out some new content, some new intellectual property. Hopefully at E3. I think with the figures, though, and I could be way off, but I suspect Nintendo will do a lot of different skins. You have your basic Mario, you have Dr. Mario, you have Mario referee from Punch Out. I think there's a lot of room there. I almost look of it in a way kind of like the stamps on NES Remix. Mm-hmm. Now granted, people probably aren't going to buy a figure of, a hammer or a star, but I think there's a lot of kind of quirky, forgotten, characters that, there's potential to weed them, out over the course of time. I don't know, but that's kind of my thoughts.
And I guess it kind of depends if you're including villains and enemies, as well as maybe, like you're saying, some of the other, like maybe Metal Mario or, different things like that. Or maybe there's Mario with different suits, like you have a Tanuki suit Mario or, something of those sorts. I guess it's kind of, again, too early to tell because really all they've done is revealed the Mario figurine so far. So I'm sure they're bound to show off a little more at E3, and obviously more as time goes on. But they did say that at E3 that they're going to have more to show off than just, I guess, Mario.
Yeah. The one thing I'm trying to figure out is, and sorry if it sounds like I'm jumping ahead on topics there, Justin. Where do these, figures fit in with the grand scheme of things? Where is this, like, in Nintendo's direction? Because right now, it just seems like Nintendo's going all over the place, especially with all these, like, news reports and rumors coming out. Some stuff we'll get into later, these new Nintendo might be developing is developing a new console for 2015 or... Nintendo's doing quality of life, or Nintendo's got a mystery $100 million acquisition. I know I'm spoiling the entire Koopacast right now. That's
well, I'm tuning out.
Right now it's very up in the air about where Nintendo's going. I feel like that's gonna confuse a lot of people. I mean, granted, Neil will probably solve a lot of this at E3, but it's at this point in time, I'm scratching my head at this.
Well, and I kind of had a conversation with some folks on Twitter about this, is that a lot of the stuff that happens behind the scenes, more business-wise in gaming, a lot of average consumers, like say a parent who doesn't know any better or whatever, going into a GameStop or a Best Buy, isn't gonna know about all these little tidbits of news. The people who are actually going to know about these pieces of news are people like, quote unquote, in the industry like you and I, or the gamers that actually go to gaming websites and follow this news religiously. So a lot of these acquisitions, or even I'm going to spoil it all here too, the new consoles for emerging markets and whatnot, a parent or maybe even an unknowing gamer isn't going to know about all these little pieces, tiny pieces of news.
I think just staying with the toys there for a second, I don't think it's gonna be a confusing issue because I think people are already used to the precedent set with Skylanders and now Disney Infinity. You go into like a Target or a Walmart, and the video game section has got a big old row dominated by packs of those toys and the portals, and people are accustomed to seeing that. And I think more importantly, from Nintendo's point of view, if those figurines start bringing in profit, that profit's then going to be used to start, investing in more, killer app games, new IPs, things like that. Again, it's too early to tell, but I'm hopeful. For that. And I think it's realistic when you look at, what the other companies have done and are doing. I always silence the room.
We were stunned by your opinion. But
It
stunned
is
in a good way, stunned in a good way.
purely opinion.
I am wondering what these new figures are going to offer, though. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned, Skylanders and Disney Infinity. I'm interested to see what Nintendo's going to offer that's going to really separate these figures from, these other two franchises, besides the fact that they're going to be through multiple games and these platforms. Or maybe that's their only, maybe that's their their cornerstone. That's what's going to, sell these figures.
Yeah, because I mean, Skylanders was really the first NFC game to really come out and hit it. I don't remember any NFC games prior to Skylanders, but Skylanders really hit it and hit it hard, like the nail, like right on the head. And Disney Infinity kind of more or less came in on the wings of Skylander and did essentially the same thing, adding in a little more customization, I think, with like the toy box and stuff. Nintendo could do the same thing, but I don't think it would be as effective of a marketing strategy unless they were going to do it and like do something entirely new and different. I could see something like that working okay with like a Smash Brothers, but I think we've discussed this in a past direct, or not past direct, past KoopaCast, and that there may not be such a market for NFC figures with Smash Brothers, but I see that being a game that would do pretty well with something like that.
I think whatever Nintendo ends up doing, I think a big thing is they really just gotta push it, make the public aware of it. Was it Pokemon Rumble Blast? Was that their first attempt
Yes.
with NFC? And I think that was fairly low key, at least from my perspective. I don't think it got a great deal of hype or marketing for, for the license that it was and for the ideas that it offered. So I think whatever Nintendo does, they just really need to, hammer this home, run adverts, when the kids are watching cartoons or, magazines, whatever, but just really push the idea. Even people who don't play Skylanders, probably know what it was because they see it. It's getting more mainstream in a way. I think Nintendo just really needs to push the idea and get people aware of it.
And one, I know you mentioned, Trevor, you're not too fond of Pokemon, but Pokemon is another franchise that...
That was a secret.
that Pokemon has a ton of characters that they could really cash in on. And there was some sort of rumor about a Pokemon fighting game, like Pokken Fighters or something. This was, I think, sometime last year, like late last year or something like that. If they came out with like a Pokemon fighting game on Wii U and start making figures, I think that they could make quite a bit of money off of little Pokemon figures.
Definitely.
That might be the slippery slope kind of, the slippery slope kind of deal. Like, I'm kind of skeptical, but like, are you thinking like you can buy the Pokemon figures and that's how you get the Pokemon in the game?
Honestly, I don't. Nintendo is so hard to predict. I don't know what they would do. That would be really like the common sense sort of move. But with Nintendo, it's like, who knows? But what are you referring to as far as the slippery slope?
Like, because that seems to like sound like another version of the pay to play model, where you're not getting this unless you buy it, or you can get it. It just takes a really long time, and you have to have a lot of patience to do it.
Well, and Skylanders is pretty much the same way, though, if you look at it. Although, I mean, when you buy the game, you kind of get like a few figures to start you off or whatever. But Skylanders is essentially the same way. You're getting the game, but then if you want these extra characters in the game, you have to go out and buy them. It essentially is another version of the pay-to-play model.
Maybe they could have it like, you'll get it one way or another, but if you get the figure, it's going to be, leveled up. So, rather than having to start at level one and working your way up, you get the level figure, you'll start at level whatever, 50 or something.
Or maybe it comes with a special move or...
Yeah, like I know it's not really the same, but it made me think of like, like in Animal Crossing, if you bought City Life on the Wii, you could take Wild World from the DS and you could have your whole catalog accessible immediately in the Wii game. There's stuff you'd earn eventually, but it was just a quicker way. I don't know if that makes any sense or if that's even, kind of relevant, but that sort of was the idea that I was thinking. It just gives you speedier access to things that you would eventually get anyway. But like you said, Matt, it's a balance, how they offer it, what it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Animal Crossing model you're talking about. So what you were saying is like in the new game, you could take data from the previous game that you had and put it in there, and that kind of made like sped things up for you, right?
Yeah, well, it would. I didn't do it, but I would imagine, because I mean, part of the thing with Animal Crossing is part of the enjoyment is just, living your life and slowly doing things, but for the person who quickly wanted to, decorate their house and fill up the museum or whatever, it might be, it's a way to bypass some of the more tedious aspects, I guess, if you want to look at it like that. Another example, not Nintendo related, but there was a great PS1 RPG called Suikoden.
Yep, played it, loved it.
Yeah, and if you had a memory card with data from that, when you got the second one, you could transfer over some of your character stats. Other RPGs have done that through the .hack games, stuff like that. So it's kind of, I guess a little bonus for people who, really like it. And people who are buying these figures are going to be, people who really like it.
Yeah, but like the model you were just talking about, that's like a loyalty model. Like, thank you for being a good customer and buying these previous two games. Here's a bonus for the new game that you want to buy. Instead of like, here's this game, and then here are these other things that you can buy afterward. Like, I don't know if I explained that right, but like the first like the Suikoden example and the dot hack and stuff like that just seems like, that's your bonus for being like for already purchasing these games. Like, you don't buy Animal Crossing and then learn of it and then go buy Animal Crossing DS, the previous version, specifically for this new thing. It's for like the people who already got Animal Crossing DS and then bought the 3DS and were like, oh hey, I get this cool little thing that'll help me along the way,
Yeah, there's probably a lot of models like that. I mean, if we really stop and think about it, I mean, even when they had connectivity with the Game Boy Advance, you do that and you can get new levels, new character skins. I think there's a lot of, really a lot of ways they could go with it, models that have been tried already. It's kind of fun to think about, and at the same time, it's kind of, that slippery slope, like you said, at what point do they take that step too far?
Well, to kind of wrap up this topic, got a couple comments from a viewer. Rich Phillips says, but you also get figures you can display, not just a character in a game, which is true. I know that when they start announcing these figures, I'm sure that I'll probably end up buying a few of them and putting them up on a shelf somewhere.
Definitely.
But I do like the fact that Nintendo is going to use them for multiple games, so that when you have these figures, you can get this game and it's compatible with this game, but then it's also going to be compatible with maybe the next game that they're making. So there's always that possibility that you'll get more than just one use out of
Yeah.
them.
I just real quick, just to follow up on Rich's comment there too. I really hope that the Nintendo figurines are really kind of intricate. Like, I know the Skylanders figures, to look at them, they're really cool looking. I think the Disney Infinity figures, by comparison, are kind of dull, at least what I've seen on shelves. So I
Yeah,
hope Nintendo. No bad.
I definitely like the Skylanders figures better.
Yeah, they seem to have a lot of detail and stuff. So I hope Nintendo is closer to that model than it is the Disney one.
Well, unfortunately, at this point, with the reveal of their Mario figure, it looks like they're more going a Disney Infinity route and just going with like the straight up characters. Hopefully, maybe they'll take some input or look at fan feedback and see that maybe some people want a little more detail in the figures. Not saying that the Mario figure looked bad.
Yeah.
The Mario figure looked like Mario.
Yeah. The Mario figure was only running at 30 frames per second. Yeah.
But if they were to take something like that Luigi's Mansion statue and shrink that down into a figurine, maybe not as elaborate as the statue was, but something along those lines, that would be really cool.
There's the Club Nintendo Platinum Award that for next couple months will be a new.
And then another comment he made was that he wanted to see extra characters for Super Smash Bros. Totally worth it as DLC. And I completely agree with that. I think as time goes on, they should definitely release kind of like these character DLC packs for Smash Brothers. Typically, they keep their lineup pretty trimmed down, though, so who knows? They might keep it the way it is from release.
The thing, like with Smash Brothers, that's a game that you buy early in a console's life. You're still playing it at the end of the console's life. I wonder if the figures are better suited to a game that maybe, doesn't have as much replay value. Smash Brothers Mario Kart, we're going to be playing that, through to the next Wii. I wonder if they're kind of better for some of the more niche titles. I don't know, but then on the same hand, you have the high, sales numbers from the games. I don't know. Yeah, it could work.
Yeah, I mean, if for It could kind of go both ways, because with a niche title, it could help sell more software units. But with a title with the popularity of, say, Mario Kart or Smash Brothers, that sells quite well over a long period of time, it would help sell more figurines.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
So it
yeah.
could really go both ways.
Yeah. And maybe it will. Maybe they'll do, have a wide range of, of titles. If that's one of the big selling points that you can use it, in multiple.
In thinking of that, I wonder if they're going to have figurines that work with some games, but then not others. Say they have the Mario figurine and they come out with a game where the Mario figurine works and the Luigi figurine doesn't, but then another game, the Luigi figurine works, but the Mario figurine doesn't.
I think they'll keep it franchise based. So all the Mario characters will go in the Mario games, and the Zelda characters will go in the Zelda games, and we go on the rest. I
So
don't think
you.
they're going to like arbitrarily limit it within its own franchise. I think they're going to keep it all together, just to keep make sure all the figurines sell well.
So you think it'll be more IP specific then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless they do, like I said, different models, and they have for like a Mario sports game, you got to get the Mario sports figure. You can't use the Mario new Super Mario figure or something like that. But I think that goes back to what Matt was saying. That's kind of the slippery slope. At what point does it seem like you're nickel and diamond consumers to have 20 different Mario statues?
That would be the Skylanders model right there.
Ooh.
It's like, yeah, we got this $5 Mario, but we have this $20 Mario because he's got glowing eyes.
All right. So, moving on to the next topic, because we just spent about a half hour on that first one, is
Oh.
Nintendo releasing new hardware for emerging game markets. And this is referring to the 13-year ban on consoles in China, emerging game markets like China, and Nintendo trying to enter that game market with not the Wii U, but brand new hardware.
This will be really interesting to see. Not only because the ban has been lifted and we're going to start seeing other console makers kind of try to enter the Chinese market, especially under these very stringent rules of censorship and approval, but especially because Nintendo is a Japanese company and Japanese and Chinese relationships haven't been the greatest, especially lately with the whole. I can't remember how the Japanese pronounce it, but for the Chinese, the Diaoyu Islands. And then, of course, we have the Chinese Sea expansion. But that's a whole bunch of like political stuff, and this isn't the political cast. This is the
All
Koopa cast. But it's still, I mean, I still feel like it's worth mentioning that those relationships will definitely play a factor on how well Nintendo does in the Chinese market.
Do you think that Nintendo has a leg up over, say, Sony or Microsoft, considering that they're both companies in the East, or both countries in the East, I mean?
Well, I don't know about Microsoft since it's here. I feel like Microsoft might have a better chance of getting into the Chinese market than Sony or Nintendo would.
Okay.
No, that's not to say like Microsoft's going to have an amazing chance.
They'll
I
do
think
as
the
well as
best.
they're doing in Japan.
What's that?
They'll do as well there as they're doing in Japan.
They might do a little bit better, but
I can't do any worse.
they probably will. I don't know how they're going to do against the emerging Chinese consoles that'll be coming out. That's what I want to see. Because that's a whole new market right there.
I
One.
think that. Oh, I'm sorry. You can.
No, go ahead, Trevor.
I think two things struck me. One, I think, and I don't know a lot about, what the stats were there, but, you think over the course of 13 years, the Nintendo name's probably to some degree lost some of its luster. The Wii and DS were big. But you know, the GameCube was, you know, modest by Nintendo standards. Certainly the Wii U, even the 3DS, even though that's a huge hit compared to where the DS was, I think the Nintendo name may still have a little more power when people think of it, like from like the SNES era or the Nintendo 64 era. Also, what struck me about the announcement, you know, not being, you know, like the Wii U 3DS, that's not going to be what they're releasing. I'm wondering if they're going to do like a Wii Mini type approach. You know, here we have, you know, hundreds of great games from a 100 million plus seller, and let's package it up, and it's brand new to you guys because you never got to experience it. Can they repeat the success they had in the States and elsewhere?
Oh, so you're thinking that maybe they'll start maybe with like a Wii sort of product in China before going to like more of a Wii U sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily a Wii Mini. I mean, it could even be, you know, more of a, you know, even more retro, more of a compilation type thing. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised because Nintendo has such a rich back catalog of games. And I think particularly with even their older titles, because Nintendo was always very cautious on censorship.
Mm-hmm.
What if they released an SNES controller with jacks and you plug it in the TV and there's 50 great Super Nintendo games built right in? I think it bypasses a lot of the worries about potential to offend, because Nintendo is always on the ball on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, relatively speaking, an inexpensive way to get their foot into the Chinese market.
So almost kind of like a virtual console approach.
Yeah, or like we might see, you know, now with like the Atari flashback consoles or something.
Right.
You know, it's running emulations in a box. But yeah, I think especially from the censorship point of view, because I mean, you look at, you know, even games like Zelda, you know, it's not a church. We don't want a cross on the tombstone. We don't want blood in Mortal Kombat. We don't, you know, there's so many examples, and some of them, you know, probably erred a little bit too much on the side of caution. But I think that gives Nintendo not only a leg up for the releases, but from a business point of view, you know, people associate with Nintendo as being conservative, being family-oriented, stuff like that.
Well, it'll be interesting because China has always kind of come out with all these knockoffs of, like, say, the Wii and the Wii U tablet controller and stuff like that. There haven't been a ton of those sorts of things, as far as I know, coming out of China, but there have been a few that I've seen kind of pop up in the news here and there, as far as gaming news, that is. And so it'll be interesting with new hardware releasing to China and other emerging markets in specific. Curious to see if any of these knockoffs kind of like rear their head and kind of cloud the releases of these new consoles.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Another thing I'm wondering, we've touched on the international releases a lot. What's going to happen with, say, like, I've heard like a couple articles are saying previously untapped market, and that could mean China, but that could mean like, you know, other sections of existing markets. And then one article even stated like 2015 as some kind of release date or reveal date. So that kind of makes me wonder, like, are we getting something that's going to be more powerful than the Wii U, or are we going to get it less powerful than the Wii U, as powerful, but not as many features? I mean, from what these articles read, it seems like it's going to be towards, like, the latter two options, where it's going to be as powerful but with less options, or less powerful than the Wii U. Which could come off as pretty disappointing to a lot of people who are hoping that Nintendo was going to come up with something that could keep pace with the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
From the way the other articles read to me, it seemed like they were going to come out with something that was more affordable. So like cheaper, so maybe less options, not as powerful. Maybe catering more to like trying to do something different like Nintendo always does. Do something a little unusual like they have at the Wii or the Wii U. So maybe they'll do something along the lines with more of like a Wii, Wii U sort of thing. I could definitely see them maybe doing a Wii U with maybe not as many options. Maybe like a Wii to Wii Mini sort of thing where maybe it doesn't have an internet connection, or maybe it is a Wii U but just a little less powerful. I don't know. I don't see them doing something like a jump technology-wise until they're ready to go on to the next generation, so something after the Wii U.
Yeah, I think it'd be for a market that's relatively speaking new, you know, it's been dormant for years, I think it'd be a gamble to try to, you know, release, you know, hardware that was more powerful. The closest thing I could see to something like that, and I'm not even sure how it would work, would be if they did like an add-on, like when they had the disk drive for the Nintendo 64. Maybe something like that could work. I'm not sure how that would work with the Wii U, or if that's a model that's just completely, you know, past its prime, if there ever was a prime for that sort of thing. But yeah, I think to attract, you know, consumers, I think they're really looking for something probably, like Justin said, more affordable, something more accessible.
Well, and Rich Phillips made a comment again, just a good point, maybe a Wii U without a gamepad.
Mm.
So maybe a Wii U that comes maybe bundled with a Wii U Pro controller or something.
But Rich, that would be like Microsoft doing an Xbox without the Kinect.
I was counting the seconds before somebody mentioned that one.
That's too funny. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see not only what Nintendo's doing as far as the emerging game markets, but maybe also when they're going to make the announcement and when they plan on kind of moving into the emerging markets. And I guess now we'll move on to our next topic. This one's going to be a quick one, I have a feeling, because I haven't ever played the original games. Trevor's not a big fan, and Matt, you haven't played these games either, have you?
Not since Red, Blue, and Yellow. Oh, and Gold. I did Gold.
Yeah, okay, so Nintendo announced Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, which are remakes of, obviously, Sapphire and Ruby. None of us have really had any experience with the games, but I guess we'll kind of make this topic a swift one just to take a small little break from our technical topics.
Let's see. Okay. Wow, look at all those Pokemons. Yep, they sure look great. That's all I've got to this conversation.
I just want to clarify that even though, you know, even though I'm not a big fan, I certainly do like, as both a Nintendo fan and as a Nintendo writer, I like the fact that the Pokemon games bring in a lot of revenue for Nintendo, a lot of critical acclaim, a lot of positive chatter. I mean, I look at, you know, the numbers for X and Y, and I mean, it's terrific. And you know, I've enjoyed like a Pokemon Y. It's not bad, you know, compared to other, you know, franchises, big series. It's not my favorite, but I certainly welcome the sales numbers that they're going to bring in. I get a kick of seeing like on Twitter and such people taking their old GBA carts and like putting a little sticker on top of it and like, hey, I get an early release of, you know, stuff like that. It promotes a lot of positive chatter. And I think that's what Nintendo needs at this point, because there's plenty of negative. So if, you know, an updated Pokemon game is going to bring that, I'm all for it.
And I wish one of the other guys was here, because I can't really talk much about the pattern of Pokemon game releases, but it seems like they kind of release a new game, and then in between new completely new releases. They always do kind of like a remake or something similar, because they had Pokemon Black and White, and then they had Pokemon Black 2 and White 2, and then they came out with X and Y.
Yeah.
And now that X and Y is released, now they're coming out with a remake of Sapphire and Ruby.
Right. And then, of course, that tradition was earlier with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and then Fire Red, Leaf Green, and I think that was it for those two. So they've definitely done remakes of previous Pokemon games before, so this is definitely nothing new coming from Nintendo. A lot of people seem pretty excited about it, which is good, so nobody's suffering from like Pokemon fatigue just yet. Especially with the incredible rate of release from Pokemon games in the last few years. It used to be like Pokemon game was like once every few years, and then in the last 3 years we've had 5-6 Pokemon games?
Yeah, they've gone pretty crazy with their Pokemon releases, but like you're saying, it doesn't seem like anybody's gotten any fatigue for the franchise, which is kind of unusual. Well, not kind of unusual, but because, I mean, you have annual releases of a lot of games like Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, all those other ones. But Pokemon sells extremely well, and it's surprising even some of the remakes how well they can – people just jump at the opportunity to rebuy a game that they've played before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people are watching us, and we don't look too excited talking about that. But, I mean, there's rabid people. I'm going to give a shout-out to a forum that I go to. It's 3DSpedia, and they've got a huge – well, I don't know if it's huge, but they definitely got a dedicated base of Pokemon fans. You know, you go there to talk Nintendo, it's 90% Pokemon this, Pokemon that. You wouldn't think there could be so many threads talking about a single series of games, but it's there, and people love it. And when people love something, you know, they're going to pony up cash for it. And with games like Pokemon or like the new Super Mario series or any of these other ones that seem to kind of churn out quicker than we might like, you know, there's the hope that the revenue Nintendo's getting from that is then going to be used to do something a little more innovative, fresh, and original. So from that perspective, I'm excited for the new games and to see, you know, how quickly they become bestsellers.
And it's makes me kind of wonder when we'll see a brand new entry into Pokemon. Is it something where we might see something as soon as next year, or are they kind of putting out Ruby and Sapphire to kind of push it a little bit further and maybe closer to the end of next year, early 2016 or something like that?
Well, we still have to get Z, right? Pokemon Z?
Like, it could always be a possibility. X and Y were kind of unusual choices, so.
I'm wondering when there's going to be, like, kind of a traditional Pokemon game for like a home console. It seems they get a lot of more of the kind of the variants or offshoots. And I may be displaying ignorance, speaking as somebody who's not a huge fan of them, but it seems like the core experiences are handhelds, the Game Boy, DS, 3DS, and some of the more experimental stuff goes to the home consoles, GameCube, Wii, Wii U with Pokemon Rumble there. So do you guys notice that? Or
that Pokemon really got its footing with the handheld. It initially released on the Game Boy handheld, and from there, that core RPG sort of experience remained handheld exclusive. And then they did their other experimental things like Pokemon Snap and stuff like that on consoles.
Matt's excited.
Oh, yeah, so excited.
Pokemon Snap is something that Nintendo fans have been clamoring for a remake as far as console versions. It was extremely popular for, I think it came out on N64, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one game I think people have wanted to see come back to the console out of all the Pokemon console experiences.
I don't see what the big deal about Pokemon Snap is. I mean, at all. Like, I've 100% of that game when I was a kid, probably a couple times. Looking back on it now, it's like, you're just taking pictures of Pokemon. You're not capturing them. You're not fighting them. That's like 90% of why people buy the other Pokemon games.
Well, and I think part of the reason people are clamoring for a remake now is graphics. And that N64, yeah, there was kind of a big jump in graphics there, but they were still blocky. There weren't very many polygons. And now everybody's clamoring over high definition, and you can get hundreds of millions and trillions of polygons into a single character. So I think people are more that they want to see the Pokemon in HD and have those fantastic graphics like we are when we see Charizard and Super Smash Brothers and stuff like that. So,
and a lot of it, no doubt, is favorable memories from childhood. I mean, now you revisit it and you don't like it, but when you were a kid, you know, you loved it enough to beat it, you know, a couple of times. I think didn't they even release a Pokemon model in 64?
Yeah, that was like the Hey You Pikachu thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, a lot of that's nostalgic, you know, fond memories. So people are kind of are living on that, I suspect. And we've probably all done it with games that we loved, and then we played them again, and we're like, oh, not as good as I remembered. The thing I wanted to say, I thought it was interesting when Justin was talking about them being on handhelds, because that's where they got their start with Game Boy. You know, the Game Boy was pretty much at death's door prior to Pokemon. You know, people were writing it off. It was already, even then, kind of an ancient console or a handheld. Then that game came out and gave it a second wind that I don't think anyone expected. If they took a traditional Pokemon game, put it on Wii U, could that give it, you know, a second wind, a shot in the arm?
I think, well, since the core Pokemon experience hasn't really ever been on a console, I think that gamers would definitely, if that sort of experience did make it to a console, that gamers would jump at the opportunity to give it a shot. Could it help Wii U sales? Any number of games that Nintendo comes out with right now, Mario Kart 8, Super Smash Brothers, a Pokemon game for the Wii U, any one of those could help boost the Wii U sales. But really, right now it's a huge question mark. Who knows? Mario Kart 8 could come out on the 30th. A lot of the core fans who already own a Wii U could buy Mario Kart 8, and Wii U sales could remain pretty much the same. It's really anybody's guess at this point.
Wow, that sounds depressing.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's more or less the truth, because a lot of the core fans right now either have a Wii U or are very soon to getting Wii U, and I don't think any number of games that Nintendo were to come out with would convince somebody either way. Smash Brothers is on the way this year, or should be, if not delayed, out this year. Mario Kart 8 comes in 2 weeks. So if you don't have a Wii U already, you're kind of late, unless you're waiting for the bundle.
It is interesting to say, and I know a lot of Nintendo fans even hate to hear mention of Michael Patcher there. He's the was it Wedbush Securities? He's the analyst.
Mm-hmm. And, sorry, I'm speaking for the audience.
And I'm not saying I like him or hate him. I mean, I don't hate him. I'm not saying I particularly like him, but I found it interesting that even his estimates and take on it, which is normally kind of doom and gloom, you know, he thought Nintendo was very low with their estimates of 3-4 million Wii U's. He was thinking more 5 to 10. So it surprised me to hear somebody who's been a vocal critic of a lot of things Nintendo, even things that Nintendo has done well with. But I found it interesting to hear something that, you know, seemingly sounds positive. You know, ultimately, is that number going to, you know, come close to doing what, you know, the Wii did? No. But that's a sizable bump. And with that, you know, maybe opens up the path for third parties who were hesitant or on the fence. Okay, now the installed base is up to such and such. I'll go ahead and port this game.
Well, and I think this time around, Nintendo, because initially when they came out with the Wii U, I honestly believe that they named it the Wii U to kind of encourage those who had the Wii to kind of make the move to another console. And they kept predicting that this kind of shift from the Wii to Wii U would happen. And that's why their numbers were so high. I think now they're taking a more conservative approach to their numbers because they're realizing, okay, what we initially thought was going to happen, the shift from Wii to Wii U, isn't happening. So we're going to keep our numbers kind of conservative this time around. And hopefully maybe with the release of Mario Kart 8 and Super Smash Brothers, maybe we can either reach those numbers or go above those numbers. But I honestly think Nintendo was trying to cash in off of the Wii's success, and it didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I mean, when you sell, you know, 100 million or so consoles, you know, you definitely want to, you know, stick with what works, you know. Mm-hmm. And if that's the name, I mean, even 3DS, you know, DS, 3DS, I mean, so, but there's risk, you know, there's risk doing that, because then it's some consumer confusion.
You know? Right, well, and with the DS and the 3DS, there was a pretty major difference there. Not necessarily in the console's look, because the DS and the 3DS look fairly similar. It's a full console, it's got two screens. But the concept from having just a basic game, but now it's in 3D, that's a pretty big difference. But from the Wii to the Wii U, you're still playing games on the TV. There's nothing majorly different except for that tablet. That's the only difference, is the control scheme, essentially. Granted, that's the difference between the GameCube and the Wii. It's completely different control, but again, you're going from a normal control to motion controls, which was entirely new at the time.
Yeah, and it looked different too. Nobody's going to look at a boxy GameCube with its handle and confuse it for a Wii. I mean, the body of a Wii versus a Wii U, especially if you're standing it up on its stand, they don't look incredibly different to the naked eye. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the tablet does, but then you get, you know, is the tablet an accessory? Like the UDraw tablet, that's an accessory. How is the Wii U tablet different?
And the Wii came with a ton of peripherals. I mean, you could get like the different sports like the little plastic sports attachments for your Wii remote and all this other crap you could buy for it, that it could quite easily be confusing to see a new controller and be like, oh, is that just a new thing for the Wii? Mm-hmm. So that's another kind of downfall, but a lot of Nintendo fans have hope for the Wii U, and after the Wii U's launch, initially I was very optimistic that sales would come up. It hasn't come up as much as I, Nintendo, or many other Nintendo fans have wanted it to. I still have optimism that the Wii U will do okay, but maybe my optimism has kind of faded over time. And that it's not going to be as big. I never really thought it was going to be as big as the Wii, but I thought it would be doing, at this point in time, be doing better than it is.
Mm. Yeah. So I mean, no, go ahead. It's okay.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't particularly want to maybe carry on the topic, but I was just going to say, even if the Wii U does end up doing GameCube type numbers or even less, it's kind of all relative. I mean, is 20 million great compared to 100 million? No, definitely not. Is 20 million a failure? No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a lot of it's, you know, how you take, you know, what your take is on it. And from a from a journalist perspective, it can be discouraging reporting on stuff like this. But from a gamer perspective, and we were, Justin and I, James was talking about this at the meeting we had. As long as we're getting the games we want to play, you know, sales numbers only particularly matter when it prevents us from getting games we want to play. Yeah, it's preventing third-party games, but realistically, you know, if you want to play third-party games, you're going to get a PS4, an Xbox One, and you'll have the Wii U for the experiences you can only play on Nintendo hardware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those prices add up. And, I mean, I particularly, because I am a poor, starving graduate student who is living currently off of Cheerios, some kind of store brand Rice Krispie Treats, and whatever, whatnot. I would prefer that the Wii U did have awesome third-party support, like the PS4, the Xbox One, simply because now I can just buy a Wii U, and I don't feel like I'm missing out on a giant portion of the gaming market. I feel like for me, that's what it ultimately comes down to is, I want to see a console that can, if I buy it, I don't feel like I'm more or less isolated from the rest of the market. Like I can kind of keep up with the rest of the games, and I don't have to hear other people say, oh, did you have to play, like, you know, I'll use an example, I guess, The Last of Us, and like, yeah, I'm sure it was great, and I'm just going to go back to playing Advance Wars again, you know.
And it's kind of funny because a lot of the people I know play PlayStation or Xbox, so I kind of have the same experience. They'll be talking about like Skyrim or something, and I'll be like, yeah, that's great. I played Mario Kart the other day.
Against Tristan, he lost, you know.
And then they just kind of look at me funny like, Mario Kart, really? Anyways.
I think that's why a lot of the indie games are starting to find success with Nintendo. Because it's filling that void. And not to say that, you know, indie games, you know, with less team, less budget are ever gonna, you know, match a blockbuster third party release, but it does give us, you know, options, things to play, games we might not normally look at. We're giving them a second look because, you know, there's not as much. And I like discovering gems that I wouldn't have looked at otherwise, were it not for the smaller market. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a positive, you know, that's one way to look at it. I mean, we still feel burned, but you know, it is what it is and we make the best of it.
Well, and another way to look at it too is that with the success of the Wii, Nintendo has a huge, I don't know how to put this. They have a lot of bank. So they can afford to kind of lose on the Wii U. Not that it's a good thing that they're losing on the Wii U, but even if they were to lose on the Wii U all the way through this console generation and then have success the next with whatever they do next, there's going to be no problem. If they had not had that success with the Wii and they came out with the Wii U and it failed, shouldn't use the word failed, but is selling as bad as it is now, it could have really hurt Nintendo as a company. It's hard to say because the 3DS is actually doing really, really well. So maybe the 3DS could have sustained Nintendo. But the Wii success and the success of the 3DS now has really carried Nintendo through this hard period with the Wii U. Mm.
It's interesting because, I mean, Nintendo's always been a well-funded company. I forget what the numbers were, but you've probably seen it on Twitter. Like, Nintendo could lose X amount of money for this many years and still be okay. Not that they can afford to have back-to-back console failures, because that's you talking, you know, 10 years plus. But what I find interesting, and I read it on Twitter, and I apologize, I can't remember who posted it. Probably more than one person posted it, but Sony, you know, for instance, can be perpetually bleeding money, losing X amount of hundreds of millions, and people don't seem to bat an eye. Nintendo loses a smaller amount, still sizable, but smaller, and people react strongly. Is it a bit of a double standard? I kind of think so.
I think part of it, and I think we've discussed this before, is that a company like Sony or Microsoft don't just have a games division. Like they do more than games. They do televisions and well, Sony does like televisions and other tech electronics sort of thing. And Microsoft has obviously Microsoft Windows and all these other products that losing in one division isn't going to sink the whole company. With Nintendo, they are almost specifically video games. So if they're losing money, that affects the entire company, not just a small portion.
And I guess without having numbers to look at, I wouldn't know, but I guess maybe as Nintendo further branches into different areas of revenue, maybe those criticisms or not criticism, those overreactions will lessen, because Nintendo isn't just a video game maker, they're a quality of life maker, they're a whatever, playing card maker.
Well, and I think more and more recently they've been kind of trying to think out of the box because they're more and more articles or pieces of news that kind of come out of the woodwork. You start hearing about Nintendo looking back on their past, and not that they haven't looked on back on their past before, but specifically making reference to doing things other than video games. And branching out into different other kind of markets and stuff like that. So
Yeah. They
it'll
got to
be
bring
interesting.
back the Nintendo cereal. Couldn't go to that
And
lately. Yeah, one side was Mario, and one side was Zelda. They got to bring that back.
an updated love tester or something.
There you go.
I mean, that's what the whole licensing deal announcement was all about, right? Because they're just rehashing all the old stuff again.
Yeah. And I guess we can, with that, we'll move on to one of our last topics, the $100 million tech acquisition and what that could possibly be.
Well, it lines up with the new console emerging the console markets announcement. So
Well,
my
and
money.
go ahead.
I was gonna say, so my money kind of goes towards that. It's either that or the quality of life. It's one of those two.
That where it was my thoughts exactly, that it was either part of the emerging markets thing and that they're trying to come up with something new or different or whatever, or that it was this quality of life kind of mysterious quote that they put out there and that everybody's been speculating about.
I don't know what it is. My only concern. And I think I mentioned it on the site, is I hope that, it's the sort of thing that doesn't sit in research and development for an extended period, only then to find out that it's not practical. Like going back to the 64 or the disk drive, that sat and got delayed and got delayed, and then it finally came out far too late to have any meaningful impact. $100 million is not a small chunk of change, but it's not unheard of for companies to invest like that and not do anything with it. One of my favorite consoles from the 90s, 3DO, they sold M2 technology for $100 million. It ended up going in vending machines. I don't think Nintendo is going to do comparable, but you do wonder. And I hope, come E3 or come sooner than later, they kind of give us a glimpse into what they spent it on, because we're going to speculate, and sometimes speculation, isn't always good, can lead to negative talk.
Well, and another point is that recently there have been quotes coming from, I guess, I don't know who it was at Nintendo, saying that now they have a clear idea on what they want to do with their next hardware, or like next console, I guess, or next hardware. The acquisition could be something to deal with that. Rich Phillips also made a comment on here. It says, that it might deal with the Nintendo figurines. I'm not sure that it would really, that they would put so much money towards something that they already developed. It's already in the gamepad. They already have the figurines. I'm not sure that they'd put $100 million more into these figurines.
Unless the scope for them is even more far-reaching than we can anticipate. You know, we're all trying to, we're all thinking like the Skylanders, Disney Infinity model. Yeah, it's possible they have something so, you know, off the grid and we can't even anticipate it. It's not unheard of for Nintendo to do that.
I was going to say that would be something that Nintendo would do, is just do something completely off the wall that nobody saw coming.
Then I'm just going to start throwing theories out there, and then we could recut it so that my theory was right, and we could put the right one in there. Nintendo VR. Let's go with. I'm going to start with that one.
You are right.
What's that?
If you are right, we'll just change the number on the KoopaCast from 42 to 31 or something, and we'll just chalk it up to a list.
Exactly. If I'm right about this, then I'm right about the number. It turns out it is 49. We're on 50 now. Just because I'm done.
We predicted this back in KoopaCast number 3.
But I could totally see them buying up VR. That's something that's been coming up more and more often, especially with the Oculus Rift and what is it, Project Morpheus?
Yep.
For the PlayStation. I could totally see, especially with their next hardware, doing something more VR related over anything else.
Boy, too. Full color, no more red, no more supposed headaches. Virtual Boy 2. And bring back Wario Land so I can play it.
And that would coincide with the Tamagotchi live preview, watch out, all hail the Virtual Boy. See, it's all coming around now.
You're laying the breadcrumbs.
They can market it as failure proof.
Oh, man. It's fun to think about, you know?
Oh, and it coincides with that really wacky Reggie Fizamy robot thing that came out last week.
Fizamek.
Yes, exactly. That guy had to use virtual reality goggles for his setup, too. So there you go.
They're hinting.
You'll see me next 2 weeks from now. Behind me, instead of a blank wall, it's just going to be like pictures with like the clothespins or the thumbtacks and strings attached to it all.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Picture of a UFO, Reggie Fizamy is a lizard man.
All right, so we're getting to the end here. So since we're going speculation crazy, E3 is in less than a month. Let the speculation begin, all aboard the hype train. What do you guys think?
New Metroid, come on, new Metroid. Some kind of Super Metroid thing. Okay, that'll be fun.
I like that. Although I do have to say, I was looking at the poll on our site, and I am, as much as I would love a new Metroid or a new F-Zero or a Star Fox, I can't believe that that's got double the amount of votes as a new IP does. It just goes to show you that Nintendo fans, you know, we love what we love. I think I would like to see more on stuff that's kind of fallen by the wayside. Yarn Yoshi is the first one that came to mind. We saw a screenshot, heard a bit about that. I think it was a direct, well over a year ago, actually, if I remember right. And, you know, we've seen nothing since. I'm hoping that's, you know, going to be an early release. You know, there's a lot of things we don't know a lot about Hyrule Warriors. But I'm especially excited to see what Miyamoto's new thing is going to do with the Wii U gamepad. Because Nintendo's really been saying, we're going to show experiences that, you know, justify the gamepad. And that's what I want to see, because I think, arguably, we haven't really seen that yet. There's been some great things with the gamepad, but I want to see something that is just truly, I can't experience it without it.
What about that Shard of Nightmare rumor that came out for Zelda?
I haven't really looked into it. I think a lot of people had kind of debunked it based on some of the other games that were on the list. I don't know what the rumors in reference to. I haven't played that many Zelda games, so I don't know what sort of tie-in this is supposed to have on the series.
Yeah, it's hard to get overly excited from just a title buried in amongst others without having anything else to go on. A single screenshot, even some concept art, a quote.
I mean, the whole thing came from an alleged, like, scan or picture of an E3 sheet that shows the scheduling. And, I mean, that's what I'm looking at right now.
I figured if it was real, we'd be reporting on it because we have connections. So if we're not reporting on it, it can't be true.
You heard it here. That should be our new, that should be going in the magazine. PNM. If we didn't report on it, it's not true.
kind of going off of some of Trevor's comments, I would like to see some of the kind of ignored existing IPs. A new Metroid, Star Fox, F-Zero would be nice. I would like to see Nintendo do something entirely new. I mean, if you take a look at Pikmin, that's a fairly new franchise. It hasn't been around for, you know, years and years and years. And it's tremendously popular. People love Pikmin.
Didn't that come out in 2003?
Well, it came out early in GameCube's life, but it hasn't been, you know, even though it's been around for 10 plus years, it hasn't been, the releases haven't been numerous.
I think there's only been three releases.
Yeah, so.
True.
One and two were both GameCube, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And then there was the one on the Wii U.
Yeah. Well, technically, they did do the new Play Control Pikmin for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're essentially the same game, but just re-released.
Yeah.
They were kind of almost like a remastering.
Yeah, that's more what I look for is just number of releases. I love Star Tropics. That's been around now for, 25 years, but there's only been two games. So it would be new to me and everyone, really.
But I would like to see something new come out of Nintendo. Another thing I'd like to see, like Trevor was saying, some of these other games that we haven't really seen much on, like Yarnyoshi. I was really excited about that, but we haven't heard much of anything regarding Yarnyoshi. And then there's X, which we've only seen some gameplay footage of through a couple videos. Then there's also the Fire Emblem crossover with Shin Megami Tensei, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, what was the last one I was thinking of?
Bayonetta?
Yeah, Bayonetta 2 is another one that we've seen a lot of. We've actually played a good demo of it at E3. There's been quite a bit of news on Bayonetta, but yet we still have no release date. So that would be another thing that could come out during E3, that maybe holiday this year or this summer we could see a release of Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm. That game needs to come out soon because they've been talking about that for a while now, and the fact that we don't have a release date even at this point is that, I mean, that just does not give me a lot of confidence in the game.
Yeah, that game needs to release already.
Yeah. At what point do the delays turn from, you know, enthusiasm where it's like, oh, you know, it's coming, it's going to be even better. At what point do they turn from that to kind of negative, like, ugh.
Well, here, in the case of Bayonetta 2, it's not even a delay, though, because they didn't even have a release date.
Yeah, that's true.
This, it's like the title's in development hell, and when is it going to come, you know, when is it going to see the light of day?
Yeah.
It's
like some kind of Duke Nukem syndrome is going on here.
Whoa.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
But definitely I would love for Nintendo to blow us away with a new Zelda Wii U, maybe show us a little bit more of Hyrule Warriors. They gave us a little sneak peek, but maybe to see a little more gameplay or to see a little more of what's going to happen with the Hyrule Warriors game.
I thought I heard a rumor that they had a Japanese, or they were going to announce a Japanese date for that.
I think they said that's this summer.
Yeah, I don't. That hasn't been confirmed, though, huh? I'm trying to remember where I read it, actually.
Yeah, I don't think it's been confirmed. And honestly, I don't know the source of the news either. But I did see that apparently it was going to come out in summer in Japan.
It was my cousin friend's roommate who knows this guy who had a friend who interned at Nintendo in the janitor department there for 2 weeks.
Overheard at a meeting.
He took a picture of it with his phone.
Yeah, he had his thumb over it. You can't really see, but...
The only thing I'm skeptical about as far as that E3 list is that anybody can really mock up some sort of official-looking E3 list with a list of release dates and titles and say, oh, this is what they're going to announce at E3.
Mm-hmm.
So when something like that pops up, that's probably a good sign that it's probably not true.
But, I did think of – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I did think of one other thing I'd like to hear. I promised myself I wouldn't jump on Virtual Console tonight, but realistically speaking, if Japan's been playing TurboGrafx 16 PC Engine games on the Virtual Console, why don't we have them? I can understand the Nintendo 64, if there's emulation issues or whatnot, but if the games have already been available elsewhere, why don't we have them? It pains me to see, you know, the new releases coming out in Japan, and kind of goes into, I guess, to an extent, what we're going to be talking about in the next issue with region locking. But anyway, yeah, I would like to see at least that announced to beef up the VC lineup. I think that's the easiest and most logical one.
And another thing that I want to see that they've been promising since they pretty much announced the Wii U is dual game pads. Even last year at E3 or the year before, they promised next year we're going to show some dual game pad experiences.
It was last year. I remember that. I think there's a Nintendo Direct about it.
And it is yet to be seen.
I don't think they're going to go through with it. I think it's just they figured it was either A, too expensive, or B, too complicated, or the Wii U couldn't handle two game pads at one time. And then they kind of like brushed it under the rug. And
we're not going to see any more of it.
We're not going to forget. It could be Miyamoto's new thing. Maybe they have a new IP that can only work with two game pads. It is a risk, though. I mean, but I think it's one they need to take because they said they're going to.
It might be an install base issue too, because if they release and produce this extra gamepad, how much are they going to actually make off of selling these extra gamepads with such a small install base?
That's true.
They need to give them custom skins or something to make us want to buy another one.
All right. Well, with that, I think we are going to go ahead and conclude this KoopaCast. And by the time we have another one, I think it's going to be the day before, or a couple days before the launch of Mario Kart 8.
Nice.
Yeah. So next KoopaCast, we might be able to get into more Mario Kart 8 stuff and have James on and talk about some Mario Kart 8 goodness.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right, so until next time, thanks everybody for watching, and we will see everybody for KoopaCast 44 in 2 weeks.
Bye.